Learning from recent history.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Lehman Brothers doesn't want to be the next Bear Stearns. So this morning, Lehman will unveil its plans for raising badly needed cash. It looked like a state-run bank in South Korea might be a possible savior, but today the bank ended negotiations with Lehman. Now, Lehman might have to sell or spin off a big chunk of the company. The bank's shares fell 45% yesterday, and that's why across the board investors are selling. In Japan today, the Nikkei closed 0.5% lower. European shares are down a fraction so far. Yesterday, the S&P 500 had its worst day in 18 months, a 3.5% drop. The Dow fell 280 points, about 2.5%. It's at 11,230 this morning. OPEC has decided it won't let the price of oil fall too far. Today, the cartel cut production by 500,000 barrels a day. Joining us now is Javier Blas. He covers energy for the Financial Times. Javier, why did OPEC do this?
Well, I think that OPEC was concerned that oil prices could fall well below $100, and they decided the best option for them was to send a clear message to the market that they were ready to defend high oil prices. So obviously, OPEC is marking a line on the market, and $100 is now that line.
Now, Javier, I remember not too long ago when OPEC was worried that the price of oil might go above $80 a barrel and kill demand. Now we're still above 100. What has changed?
What has changed is that OPEC still sees very, very strong demand. In China, India, Brazil, the Middle East, Russia, demand is growing very, very fast. Mm-hmm. And what OPEC has realized is that we have seen very strong demand with very high oil prices.
And you said the barrier here is $100. That's what you think OPEC is looking at in terms of propping up the price of oil?
For some OPEC members, in particular Venezuela, Iran, probably Nigeria, $100 now is the minimum price. I will say that Saudi Arabia and other countries will not see any problem if prices drop below $100, but they stay somewhere between $80 and $90. But wherever is the line, it is very clear that OPEC today is defending a much higher price than used a year ago.
All right, Javier Blas from the Financial Times. Thank you.
Thank you.
Remember plans to use radar, cameras, and motion detectors at the Mexican border? Well, taxpayers might not be getting what they're paying for. Congress holds a hearing on this today, and we have more from Steve Henn.
In spring of 2006, officials unveiled plans for a high-tech virtual fence along the U.S.-Mexico border. President Bush called it the most technologically advanced border security initiative in American history. But it hasn't quite worked out that way.
The radars were thrown off by raindrops and blowing mesquite leaves. The cameras didn't go the distance.
Rich Stana is with the Government Accountability Office. He says the Department of Homeland Security was supposed to have rolled out stretches of this virtual fence in Arizona and Texas by the end of the year.
Back in February, that was extended to 2011.
And DHS is expected to announce more delays today. The government already set aside more than $1 billion for the fence, and that figure is likely to climb. Stana says none of the high-tech systems deployed along an original 28-mile section of fence work well enough to keep. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com. By Farrar, Straus, and Giroux, publishers of the new book by Thomas L. Friedman, Hot, Flat, and Crowded, Why We Need a Green Revolution and How It Can Renew America, wherever books are sold. And by Gather.com, where friends keep up with the people, conversations, and moments that matter most. People are talking about business at Gather.com.
I told you yesterday that car makers were looking for some help from Congress. Low-interest loans. The CEO of Ford said Detroit is not looking for a bailout. But commentator Will Wilkinson says you can call it whatever you want, it's still an undue burden on taxpayers.
Detroit's big three automakers are struggling. Instead of making cars Americans want to buy, GM, Ford, and Chrysler are clamoring for tens of billions in taxpayer-subsidized government loans. Sadly, these subprime borrowers will likely get their cheap money. Both McCain and Obama are backing the bailout, lest the American public be visited with the calamitous extinction of the Pontiac Vibe and Chrysler Sebring. Just this week, the government took over mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. This put taxpayers explicitly on the hook for their massive liabilities. And earlier this year, the Fed opened the spigot to keep flailing investment houses afloat. There's a decent argument for these interventions. In each case, quick action might have kept these medium-sized disasters from snowballing and bringing down the whole economy. If so, the extravagant expense is worth it. But what if one or all of the big three fail? Well, other companies will buy their assets and use them more wisely and profitably. Some people will lose jobs, most will find new ones, and the gains in efficiency will make the economic pie larger and job growth more likely. Maybe you'll buy a Toyota Camry, made in Kentucky. We'll pull through. Here's a paradox for you. Government guarantees often create the very conditions they are meant to guard against. The implicit guarantee behind the privately owned yet government-sponsored Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac contributed to the irrational risk-taking in the mortgage industry that has pushed our economy to the brink. When individuals and firms are made to bear the costs of their own decisions, their decisions will be more carefully made. Detroit doesn't need taxpayer-subsidized loans. It needs to make better decisions, or else fail. The alternative to creative destruction is not stable prosperity. Propping up yesteryear's winners leads to stagnation at best, plain old uncreative destruction at worst. The best defense is often no defense. But politicians, who can see no further than the next election, have once again placed our bank accounts in harm's way.
Will Wilkinson is a research fellow at the Cato Institute. You can find a link to his blog and share your thoughts at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.